The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey everyone, I'm Natalie Morris.
And I'm Clayton Morris.
This is Clayton Morris. This is the Investing in Real Estate show. And today we're going to share a nightmare story about real estate. And I'm going to sit in the anchor chair.
Okay.
I do have some experience with this. And Clayton is going to be my guest.
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to interview Clayton about a real estate nightmare. The reason we do this, the reason we do every episode, is because we like to share what we've learned, hard knocks and easy knocks. Are there easy knocks?
I don't know.
Well, let's use that expression. So we're going to share that today. Are you comfortable being asked about this?
Yes. Yes. This was a very difficult thing that happened to me, what, like 10 years ago, 11 years ago or more? So that's what we're going to do today. You're going to pick my brain about this. And I think the reason we're doing this is because it's a really powerful lesson for other people. Anytime you go through difficult times, it's amazing the people that will come out of the woodwork and share with you. In fact, on Instagram just today, I posted about setbacks and how... And I got so many great comments. And one person said, you know, I've been in real estate investing for a long time. Setbacks are part of it.
Yes.
And it's really important for people to understand these setbacks when you get involved in real estate investing.
Yes. So this is something that happened to Clayton before we got married. I only sort of know about it, to be honest. I know about it because we suffered some repercussions together, but it really happened to him before we met. So I'm learning along with you.
Okay.
So the story goes that Clayton invested in something that was not Yelp built through a friend, right?
Right.
Take me through it a little.
Okay. So I had two properties in Florida that I had just renovated myself and flipped. So I had some money from that those flips that I did the work myself, you know, spackling, all that kind of crazy stuff, updating the property from a 70s look to a more modern look. Cabinets and stuff. So I was very proud of that. So I just made a good profit. And it was right before the crash happened, right? Or it was approaching that time, 2006, 2007. So I had this additional cash available for me to put down on this new investment. So a friend of mine, who was also in the TV biz, said, hey, you know, he used to be a realtor in Seattle. He had some connections in this space and said, let's invest in this land construction project. It was going to be like high-end mountain homes in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. You know, I just had success flipping these two houses here, one that I lived in and one that I acquired that was next door when the lady passed away. And I said, great, tell me more.
So the project was to buy land and a house would be built on the land. And then you would sell it for more because you thought that it was going to be a booming neighborhood.
Right.
And you did not want to purchase for cash flow.
No, I didn't know anything about, you know, I had read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but I didn't quite understand the power of performing monthly assets in cash flow at that time.
Okay.
So you
wanted a quick flip.
Quick flip, you know, and I didn't know what a quick flip meant, but I knew that he and I, my friend and I, were going to go in halvesies on this. So 50-50, We'd both put down, I think we both put down about 30,000. And I had made profit of about like 40. I felt like it was like 40 something thousand or maybe more that I had made as profit from the sale and flips. So we go in half and half. We both put, I think, 30 into this project to buy this piece of land in a mountain construction project that was to start. Do you want me to go deeper? Or you want to?
Well, what I want to know is, was that the full purchase price? You each the 60,000, or it was 30,000 down payment, or so? The whole project was Clayton Morris, and let's protect his privacy. Let's call him Todd.
Okay, Todd.
Okay. So you and Todd had $60,000, and the project and the loan was in the name Clayton and Todd, not an LLC, ding number one, right?
Yeah, huge lesson there, right? So this is how we bought it. We didn't buy it as a partnership LLC. We bought it as him the person, me the person.
And then there was a loan attached to this $60,000 for how much?
Right. So I think the construction, so then there was a construction loan that we had also. So our down payment was, I think, like 60, I think. And then the construction loan for 200 or 250, I think, something like that. It was pretty substantial.
Okay. And so you go and you see the land and you think this looks like a nice place, right? I like this lot. There's going to be a nice like pool here or whatever. It was
on
the golf
course. Well, let me give you some background on this. So this was in North Carolina. It was in the mountains of North Carolina. And look, a lot of people moving to North Carolina. So to this day, North Carolina is still a good place to invest, right? But at the time it was outside of Cashers, North Carolina. Okay. Beautiful area. And people, I think they kind of colloquially,
I
can never say that. They call it like the Aspen of the East, I think. I think that's what it's called. So this area.
But probably there's no they. It's the developers.
Maybe it was the marketers. Yeah, maybe it was the marketers. I don't know. But it is quite nice. The town of Cashers is a very like upscale spas and nice, restaurants and stores. So it's kind of down the hill from that. So by all accounts, a good area. Now, this entire area, apparently this entire project was like Phil Mickelson, the golfer, his name was attached to it in some way, because I think he was then going to be designing the Phil Mickelson golf course. And these multi-phases would be around the Phil Mickelson golf course community with a clubhouse and pool and all that kind of stuff. And you would buy in phases. And I believe we were buying in either phase one or phase two, but not like the last. So we were like in the early phases of construction.
Okay. And so you saw it and then you signed on the dotted line and you handed over your profit from this first sale, right?
Right.
And then when did your payments on that loan start? Was it supposed to only start when the house was built, or you were on the hook right away for the bank loan?
No, it was to start, if memory serves me, it was to start after construction commenced, or no, after construction completed on that, I believe. The bank, because the bank would pay out in phases. So on a construction loan, I don't believe, or maybe there was like a 6 month or a 1 year. They made it really attractive when they packaged this thing to investors. You could get like, very good financing, and then you wouldn't have to make any payments for like 1 year, I think. I think that's what I remember, that it took a while. You weren't immediately starting to pay construction loan interest payments or anything like that within the first month.
Okay. So anyone who was a functioning adult in 2006, 2007 knows that real estate was good at that time. So there was a lot of speculation all over the country, right? Real estate was appreciating at alarming rates. And so you thought, okay, this, of course, it's going to appreciate. I'll be able to sell it to some nice family or a retiree who likes Phil Mickelson, wants to golf, right?
Right.
And then what happened?
Well, then the economy collapsed. And of course, all of these sort of speculative loans, people that didn't even have the income to pay the loans. You know, we all know what happened in the mortgage crisis, right? People were getting mortgages, no income, no job, ninja loans, right? No income, no job. They could get loans for 110% financing. Well, what happened was, I think a lot of the people that had these loans lost their jobs, lost other sources of income.
Well, wait. Why would you do that? Because the house was not built, or did someone come around and say, hey, by the way, we're not going to build your house? Or did you just get no information?
Well, it was a lot of that. We were unable to get information. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of people who had invested in this whole community, and we were struggling to get info. I then went to the property and got a tour around on like an ATV. They had like a really nice office with
one of those development trailers, right?
But it was full-on like North Carolina style log house, really beautiful like office that had like floor plans and designs and different amenities that you could put into your mountain house, your mountain cabin, you know, waterfall features and all sorts of stuff, right? And they had the map, the plat map and all that sort of stuff up on the wall so you could see where you were. And so he showed us on the map where we were, and then we got in the ATV and drove up there to see it. And it was like logs in the way, and you needed to get on a four-wheeler to get through there. Otherwise, you were not getting up there with like a car.
But this was before you purchased, right?
No, this was after.
Oh, okay.
Because all it was a plot of land in a community. So we had all the brochures and all the things, you know, all the marketing material. They had a website with all the
running
water.
So you're like, oh, I want to see what's going on here now because I have no info. Or did you go like, I'm excited about it, I want to see it?
Yeah, I mean, at this time I was like, okay, what's going on with this? Because we haven't really gotten any information. This should be built, or this construction should have commenced by now,
right,
on this project. And because I was local, or at least relatively local, I was able to go while my friend and partner was like up north in New York. So he wasn't able to go. So I said, okay, I will, because I'm close enough. Mm-hmm. So going through this property, you know, you got to see they have, you know, like when you're hiking in a national park and they have like a sign with the two posts and a big glass thing, mm-hmm, and you can get the little map. So they had a lot of those throughout the property, like where certain things were to be built. They had a picture of the clubhouse on one of those signages, and it looked beautiful. And the vista overlooking the hill where the clubhouse was to be was going to look over the golf course. And, you know, you can imagine it was going to be gorgeous, right? Apparently the builders, I think, backed out because they weren't getting the money then either. I think the banks then weren't making the payments to the builders, something like that. So they couldn't start construction in those phases without the payments from the bank. I believe that's how it unfolded. And so there was just defaulting left and right. And so the builder backs out. I think inevitably Phil Mickelson probably backed out. I would imagine he wouldn't want his name tied to this failed community. And to my knowledge, it's still not built. I don't know anything about it. I ended up then being on the hook. We ended up having to deal with that was the hard part, because then we're like, well, what's the land worth? Because we don't even know what the land was worth. And it took a few years of figuring out, like, what the heck is this thing even worth? And it was probably worth maybe a few thousand dollars, the plot of land that we'd paid $60,000, you know,
$30 each,
plus then the construction loan. Mm-hmm. So we then ended up having to, I think the bank filed a judgment.
Well, the bank, this part I know about. I married a man who had this happening to him. Shows you how dumb I am. it's like, hey, we're married. What's this?
Yeah.
And so this part I do know is that Todd, the friend, mm-hmm, worked with the bank to settle the loan, the note for less. Because the bank was intending to enforce it. The bank did say, you signed a note for, let's say, $200,000, so we're going to enforce it, which is an odd thing for them to have done if they didn't ever receive, they didn't pay out that money. So why did they think they were owed it from somebody else, right?
Right. Well, I think back then, that was the thing, right? A lot of these banks were just selling these notes. As soon as you had signed a mortgage, it was sold.
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I don't think that's...
So the bank that you settled with may not have even been the bank you initially signed with.
No.
That part I didn't know.
I'm fairly certain that's the case. But maybe not. It might have still been like that small local bank.
Oh, I know who it was.
Yeah.
I got on the phone with them. We won't out them.
In the end, though, we ended up settling it for way less than what was owed on the note.
But you were paying a note on something you never got that they were supposed to pay to a builder.
Right.
Right.
So they were supposed to pay to this builder. The builder backs out. We're left then on the hook with these things. So
you lost your profit, which you probably paid some taxes on the profit from the first deal.
Right.
And then you go and lose that money. And then you're on the hook for debt on a house that doesn't exist.
Right. Well, the good news about the profit from the first sales, because I lived in it for more than 2 years.
Only one of them.
Right. Only one of them. Right.
So the other one you would have had to pay capital gains tax.
Right, right, right.
On that profit and then go and lose it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Vistaprint. Do you need holiday cards? Do you need personalized holiday calendars or other photo gifts? Of course you do. They're the best kind of gifts. And you can get them from Vistaprint, and you can get 50% off. I'm going to tell you more about that 50% off in just a moment. So I love getting those holiday calendars. My sister orders them from Vistaprint every year, and she chooses all of the different family photos. And what a nice little touch that she puts in is all the family birthdays. So Pop-Pop has his birthday, a little picture of him on June 19th. My sister, her little face right there on November 4th. My birthday, December 31st, the last day of the year. So my ugly mug gets put right there. But any little nice touch, and the designs are gorgeous. It just makes giving a family gift so nice. You can flip the pages and see all of the family, different outings. And I like, you know, the Halloween time. So you can use that pumpkin patch picture that you have to make a nice big splash photo there. You know, you want to do the holiday cards? It's so great. You can pick a shape like a square, rounded corners, folded or flat, and then choose one of Vistaprint's designs. They've got everything from fun and festive to gorgeous, eye-catching looks. Next, you can put your favorite picture right there on most of the options and even upload a great shot right from your phone. Then just figure out how many you need, and you can order them with time to spare. Vistaprint has hundreds of card designs, from timeless classics to fun new trends. Vistaprint also has custom calendars for gifts that keep giving all year round. All the custom cards and calendars right now are 50% off. You can also upload your favorite photos right from your phone and save on any mugs that you order, canvases, and other photo gifts. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed, or they will make it right either by reprinting your order or offering you a refund. So, this season, make merry at Vistaprint.com with up to 50% off all of your holiday cards and photo calendars, plus great deals on photo gifts at Vistaprint.com. Just enter the promo code INVESTING50, INVESTING50. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code INVESTING50. Offer expires on January 5th. Thanks, Vistaprint.
So, the reason I wanted to interview with you about this is because I remember a couple of things about this. One, you were really depressed about it.
Yeah. Wouldn't you be?
I'm still depressed about it. Yeah. We're talking about it. Yeah,
it's a lesson.
It's upsetting,
you know?
But why didn't you quit investing in real estate at that point?
Well, because just because one bad thing happens doesn't mean that you throw the baby out with the bathwater, if that's a, you know, a metaphor we could use in this situation. I mean, more, you know, it's a fact, right? More millionaires and billionaires have been made in the United States than using real estate investing than any other form of wealth building. I mean, we know it goes back to Roman times, right? The Romans book that we read on the history of Rome, the Roman emperors and other members of, you know, the Roman Empire owned condominiums, if you would call them that at the time, and rented them out as rental property. It goes back to the Roman times. So there's a long track record of how important it is. So I just saw it as an opportunity to, okay, I'm going to learn from this. But I also didn't realize the power of like buying and holding real estate. For me, I was still in like a flipping mentality.
Right.
Right. Because the first thing I did was flip the house I lived in and that sort of stuff. And then, you know, and then trying to flip this project and making a quick buck. But then that's when I think I really shifted my strategy into buy and hold real estate.
Right. But, you know, we've seen people react to bad luck in real estate a lot. And some people will say, oh, that's all I ever had, right? And at the time, that was all you ever had.
Yeah.
You did not have network news job.
No.
So you were not making six figures. And like, you know, that was conceivably everything you had. But you could see a future where you could make it back, or like you didn't see, I'm sure you did though. Like there were times when you saw, oh, this will ruin me.
Yeah. I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to ruin me. I lost all the profit that I had from that and just my savings. Plus it ruined my credit, having to deal with like a default judgment from the bank and I not making a lot of money. And I'm paying paying my rent or paying my mortgage. So like I'm barely skating by. Like this is not a good thing. But I remember at the time, and I think I talked to one of our guests on our podcast at one point, he had a course at the time on like creative real estate investing. And I remember reading through it and I was like, okay, there's something here. And I don't know that it sunk in just then, but I knew that I had to get creative. So my credit is ruined. I don't have the cash in the bank to be able to like buy real estate. How am I going to do this? No one's going to give me a loan. By the way, no one was giving loans anymore because the economy had collapsed. I didn't have and I lost my job.
Yes.
So I was also out of a job. So if I can bounce back from that.
But when your stock was low.
Now my stock's high. So you go through these trials and tribulations, but I knew that I had to get creative with how I was going to do this. And so I had to find creative ways of raising capital, finding deals that could produce cash flow, doing all the things that like no one teaches you how to do, but which I think we teach you how to do here on this channel. Honestly, everything that I've learned, we've taught here on this channel, and you could go out and do it yourself right here, right now. If you have some big setback in your life, there are all kinds of ways that you can take action today. Like you woke up today and took a breath. Like that's the universe's way of saying, hey, here's another chance for you. You want to sit there and feel sorry for yourself? And you know, you want to spend another 24 hours feeling sorry for yourself? You could spend the next 5 years feeling sorry for yourself. Or you can do something about it. And I think the lesson is that I actually did something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get in a fight with Todd? A fist fight?
No, in fact, that's a great lesson in this too, right? I mean, we both went into this willingly. We both went into this investment thinking it would produce for us.
But Todd found it. Weren't you pissed off at Todd?
Todd referred me to him. Todd pointed me in the direction of this investment. And I read through the same materials, had the same understanding of the project that Todd did. And believed in it just like he did. And by the way, we were also the other side of the story is that because we believed in this project so much together, Todd had referred me that I ended up buying another one of this same company's properties in Florida and went through the same thing with them in Florida. Both projects collapsed. So Florida properties collapsed.
Yes.
North Carolina properties collapsed. Nothing gets built on either of them.
You doubled down.
Doubled down because I believed in it. So I lost everything, but I was still alive. And to answer your question, Todd and I didn't come to fist bumps. We came to fist bumps, not fist fight.
Yeah, like good fist bumps like this.
We're like, you know, we're going to figure this out. We're going to get through this. And we, you know, we worked with the bank. We sorted it out. And in the end,
still friends.
We're still friends. Yeah.
Did you get litigious on the builder?
No, I mean, look, there was like a class action lawsuit that was trying to happen. I think this woman from Long Island was another investor, but I think she bought I don't know how many she bought. I don't remember. I think she bought multiples, but because she was like a New Yorker, Long Islander, she was like fired up that she was going to take it to the streets, you know, and like,
well, that's very racist.
How is that racist?
But okay.
That's not racist. I don't know what a race is.
It's like
it's statist.
It's generalist about a regional area.
Yes.
Not everyone from New York is pissy. But
They make whole videos during like the, you know, events, you know, New Yorkers are tough, right? New Yorkers are tough, right? Billy Joel sings about it. I mean, come on. You're tough, right?
Okay.
Anyway, she was tough and she was like,
an archetype that was aggressive.
But she was a sweet lady and tough, and she, you know, had reached out. And so we kind of got on the phone and She said, like, the lawyer, you know, in order to do this, wanted like $15,000 just to go through the process of it. But she said, what the lawyer says is it's highly unlikely anything will happen. So I'm going to throw $15,000 at this for what? You know, to fight something that's probably not going to bear any kind of fruit whatsoever. You know, and at the end of the day, if you look at like the financial crisis, I mean,
No one was getting made whole.
No one was getting made whole. Right. Everyone lost their shirts. So I don't know. I want to talk more about that though, because I think that's important. So, you know, this class action thing, she kind of described it and she said, you know, but the lawyer doesn't think much will happen, but it's like $15,000 for us to kind of pool our money together. I'm trying to get as many people as we can. And she said, you know, the thing is, though, we might not get class certification, which I didn't know what that meant,
right.
Which means like you think of like someone's going to get everyone gets cancer from one type of detergent. Right.
Yeah.
Then there's a class action lawsuit. And I think we've had class action lawsuits where you get something in the mail that's like, hey, do you want to file for this class action lawsuit against Hertz rental car? I mean, who the heck knows? Right. I don't know. I'm making that up. Hertz. I didn't. And you might win 15 cents. If they, you know, they go through this process. But the problem is that with real estate, there's no class because everyone had a different scenario. Everyone had a different circumstance. Every house is different, right?
Yes.
From what I understood of it. That's the way she explained it. Like that there is, it's going to be very hard for them to like certify class.
Yes. And I remember at the time you were like, I want to move forward. I don't want to look back.
Right.
You know, that was... You weren't looking to punish anybody. You realized, you know, I take responsibility for this. I thought it was one thing. My friend thought it was one thing. There were people that were wrong. And
right.
The circumstances were really sad and unfortunate, but I want to move forward.
Right.
So everyone has that choice, you know, in every deal. Like how much are you angered and need to, you know, like that story in the Bible of the woman who turns into a pillar of salt. Like the more you look back, the more you're prevented from your future.
Right.
You know, so I get it. I remembered feeling like, well, maybe you should do that, you know, but I think we all get things in the mail, you know, that ask us like, how much do you want to punish somebody else? Or how much do you, you know, do you feel about something? I don't know. It's an energetic choice. For everybody.
Right.
Right.
So did I want to spend, I'd already lost a lot of money. So then do I want to spend $15,000 on probably losing another $15,000?
But it would have kept you treading water in that place. Right.
Right. Then you're energetically in that space.
Like reliving constantly. Your pain
right.
all the time.
Yeah. Right.
I get it. So it's not that it's unfortunate. Not, well, I don't want to use a double negative. It's of course unfortunate. Right.
Right.
And we've heard stories like this that are heartbreaking all of the time, right? But the questions you have to ask yourself are, can I move forward, right? You didn't even know if you could. You didn't have a job.
Right.
Can I recover and do I still believe in this? And can I keep building, right? And somehow, Clayton Morris, you did.
Today's episode is brought to you by Enclosed, which is sexy lingerie for her. That's something, guys, you should get for your girl this holiday season. Am I right? Am I right?
Yeah, I'm going to take this one over because
okay,
you're risking being creepy here.
Okay. I'm not a creep.
Okay. But you shouldn't be talking about panties. I should be talking about panties because I think it's a lovely gift to get from somebody, something intimate and tasteful and sexy. You don't want another sweater, right? You don't want flowers. I don't want that stuff. I want something that is comfortable, that's well-made. This is not like department store, Victoria's Secret type stuff. This is high-end designer lingerie with something that matches every taste and style. You just sort of tell what's your girl like, what kind of, you know, what's their preference in style, what kind of underwear do they usually use. You don't have to know the names. You don't know have to know the difference between thong and low cut, right? You just have to choose what looks
I pride myself on.
Yeah, what did I say?
Oh, sorry.
Get out of here. Okay, so trust me, you want some nice underwear. Believe me, every lady likes to think that they have expensive under things. It makes us feel good. What did I say?
I was thinking like it was like Costanza in that Seinfeld episode where his dad's like, you know that D is the biggest, George. Yes, Dad, I know that D is the biggest. I built my whole life around knowing D is the biggest.
Okay. So this is an intimate gift for couples. Doesn't have to just be for Christmas, but it's great to keep in mind because, again, this is a gift that keeps on giving. If you buy someone the right type of lingerie, you know their size, you know what kind of underwear they wear, it feels good. Believe me, you're top of mind all day, every day. It's a beautiful gift. So please remember, enclosed.
Yeah, so visit getenclosed.com. That's G-E-T enclosed.com. Getenclosed.com to get $35 off your purchase of any multi-month gift. And you just have to use the coupon code Clayton at checkout. So go, again, visit getenclosed.com to get started. And we've got that special offer for our listeners. When you sign up, use that coupon code Clayton at checkout to save on the best gift ever.
Just remember to read the washing instructions.
Yeah.
You don't want to put that in the dryer.
Merry Christmas. Well, I mean, here's the thing. What else do you do? Do you just go into a shell and spend the rest of your life in a shell because someone wronged you? What's the famous saying about if you want to seek revenge, you might as well dig two graves?
It's a Confucius.
Oh, yes. Confucius. Yeah.
Right.
If you want to seek revenge, you might as well dig two graves. It's true. I mean, how much time and energy do you want to spend on that? And or you can move your life forward, your family forward. And so what I tried to do in that situation was, well, look, I've got to figure this out. I've got to start. I know that real estate's the number one way to build wealth. How do I do it? And I've heard it repeatedly from people that are like, you don't need money to get started in real estate investing. There's so much money out there available to people. If you just can, you know, find deals, get creative about it, you can do it. We've had so many real estate investors who are multimillionaires here on the show who started with nothing, like Robert Shimon. I mean, I can name tons of people on and on and on.
And a successful real estate investor doesn't have one property and they're done.
Right.
Doesn't have one deal and they're done. Everyone has, you know, a career is a spectrum of many different deals. In fact, we had some investors who we had worked with who were young college students and had they'd banged their head around a couple of times on this one property. And Clayton said, boy, are you lucky it happened to you when you're young. Because
yeah, I mean,
then you've got a good perspective.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think if it had, like I've said here repeatedly on the show, and I've done a couple episodes now, how I hope that there are setbacks. You know, first of all, I don't believe that there are setbacks. Like what happened to me propelled me in a certain way because it forced me to learn something that I wouldn't have otherwise learned, right? Mm-hmm. If I was just able to get 110% financing from the bank for the rest of my life and just kind of go along with it that way, I would have never
learned. Well, everybody would do it.
Everybody would do it, right? But yeah, I've often said here on the show, like, wouldn't it be, you know, I hope you have a setback. I mean, I hope you have a setback at some point and I hope you have it early. Maybe even your first deal, second deal. Because what happens is if you don't, if you kind of go through like Easy Street for a while and you get to your like 20th property and you've never had any problems and then suddenly you have that first one, it could totally derail you.
Yeah.
Right. So you're going to have it. Might as well just get it out of the way up front. Right.
Yes. But I have heard this on other real estate podcasts like, oh, you know, first deal, you don't make money. And I felt like, well, I can't afford to not make or lose money on a deal. And then somehow, I don't know how, like, you know, if you handle it in a way where you're like, okay, just one hard decision after the next, and then you're able to move through it. I think most people, when they hear that, they'll be like, no. I don't have the money to lose. So you just have to, you know, you just have to, my father always says, it's just a series of decisions. One decision, then the next decision. They're hard decisions for a while until you're done,
right,
until you're through it, right?
Yeah. So I think that's the lesson here. Just, you know, take your licks, keep on kicking, and
yeah,
keep moving.
But that's not to say I have seen Clayton get into some situations where it's hard and it's ugly and it's sad. And you give yourself an appropriate amount of time to feel sad, you know, and feel defeated, but not forever. Then
right,
you just keep going, you know.
Well, we've talked here on the show before about, you know, what we had to deal with a few years ago in our Indianapolis market with, you know, with a former business associate who wronged us.
And lots of people.
And lots of
right,
people.
Yeah.
And other companies, not just our company, but multiple other companies that have gone to trial with this guy and won and beat him in trial. Like,
And it was absolutely debilitating to the point where, I mean, I've talked about it here on the show where when I didn't eat, I was just, I couldn't believe what this person had done to us. But is that going to be my story for the rest of my life? Of course not.
Well, that's up to you.
Right. I mean, it is up to me. And so I decided that, no, it wasn't going to be, and that we were going to build our company stronger than ever and make sure that, you know, we never have to deal with somebody like that ever again and come out, like, sort of rise from the ashes on that. And build it stronger and better. And we have. And I couldn't be more proud. And there were some dark days. I mean, there were some really dark days. Like, how are we going to, you know, get through this? How are we going to get through this? And we built it stronger and better and came out the other side of it. And I couldn't be more proud of, you know, of how we came out on the other side of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm proud of you too, because I know you, you know, step in front of this camera. I know you step in front of deals all the time, knowing there's a risk that I'm going to get punched in the below the belt, and right. I keep going. I keep trying, because otherwise what? Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise what? So we wanted to share this story with you because, you know, if we can live through this and still keep going and still make money and still build, then you can too.
Right.
Nothing's going to break you unless you decide, right? It's not what happens to you. It's how you react to it. So hopefully you've learned from this and were inspired and not scared. We don't want to scare you. We just want to give you like the scariest scenario because, again, everyone can build from heartbreak, right? Like
Right. Look
at Malala, right? She gets shot in the face and then creates a whole career, right? Everyone can build from something that happens to them. You can't do. And then you can keep succeeding. It's really up to you. So we thank you for sharing this journey with us. Maybe next time we'll tell a happier story. Let's do a series. My best view instead of my worst.
Yeah, and we've done a whole series here on the show, and it's been really popular on our YouTube channel. If anyone wants to go check it out, called Our Story. And it's like a history of kind of going through. We deep dive some things that happened to us with foreclosure and other stuff. It's older now. I think it's like 2 years old.
Maybe three years old.
We should do an updated one.
Let's do that in the new year.
But it's not all sunshine and roses. The other day I saw Ed Mylett, who I follow on Instagram, great guy. And he posted a picture of himself having coffee. And he said, you know, I woke up on this Monday and I had so many fires that I had to put out. And he's a I think he's a billionaire. He's like, you know, it's so many fires that he had to put out, disaster after disaster. He's like, I did not want to get out of bed. He's like, you know what I did though? I got out of bed. I did my workout. I did some journaling. I did my meditation, and I am here and I have my coffee, and I'm going to do it and I'm going to get through it. So I love that. I love that motivation. We all have bad days, and all the spit and polish that you see on Instagram and other places, it's all garbage. We all have dark days, and it's worth talking about them, right?
Yeah. I mean, we raise each other up by seeing each other rise.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. Even with all of the licks that you'll take sometimes, it is still the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.
I told you, you're not the anchor. I was supposed to have done that.
We both wore Sprocket shirts today.
Yeah.
You're watching live.
Thank you for joining me, Clayton, on my show.
Right.
Thanks for doing my rap.
Bye, everyone. We'll see you next time. This is Clayton Morris signing off.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.